Please stand. From the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. While the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great shoal of fish. And as their nets were breaking, they beckoned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but, "Go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to the people." But so much the more the report went abroad concerning him, and great multitudes gathered to hear and to be healed of their infirmities. But he withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. On one of those days, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they sought to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into their midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose before them and took up that on which he lay and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "We have seen strange things today." After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he left everything and rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company there of tax collectors and others sitting at table with him. And the Pharisees and their scribes murmured against the disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And they said to him, The disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours eat and drink. And Jesus said to them, Can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away, and then they will fast in those days. He told them a parable also. No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine desires new, for he says, the old is good. Please be seated. Silence is not easy to come by in New York City. This church tonight is something of an anomaly, like an oasis in a desert or a single drop of oil in vinegar. This quiet church is somehow separate from the cacophony of the city with its sirens and jackhammers and car horns and people. Here tonight, though, we sit in the presence of Jesus and we can finally be quiet and calm and still. But there is a danger that comes when we sit in the Lord's presence and are silent for the first time in a while. Once the dust of our busy lives settles and we begin to look at our Lord and reflect, it is very well possible that in this silence we may fixate not on Jesus, but on ourselves, especially on our many faults and failings. Maybe you've had this experience. You finally get a chance to think, you've had a busy day, you've come to church, and you suddenly realize how little you've prayed today. You remember what you said earlier today that you really shouldn't have said. You remember all those things that you've been planning to do that at the current moment still remain undone. Our sins of the past, our imperfections, our weaknesses, when we're silent and sit here, they all come flooding back. Now, if we think of our sins and these thoughts move us to repentance and with confident trust in the Lord, maybe even going to confession if necessary, wonderful. That's wonderful. We can begin again afresh, washed clean in the precious blood of Jesus. But, if instead we begin to beat ourselves up and we begin to say, I'm not a good Christian. I don't belong here. Look at all these other holy people. I'm not like them. I can't be holy. I don't deserve the Lord's love. If we begin to think in this way, then we make the same mistake that St. Peter made in the gospel that we just heard when he said, Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Peter's encounter with Jesus drew out of him a keen awareness of his imperfection, his deficiency, his sins. And overwhelmed, Peter says, Depart from me, Lord. Fortunately, though, Jesus is the one who issues commands to Peter in this gospel, not the other way around. So Jesus does not follow Peter's instruction when he says, Depart from me, Lord. Instead, he says to Peter, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be fishers of men. Do not be afraid. I have plans for you. Do not be afraid. Your sins are no obstacle for me. I came into the world to take those away, precisely those sins. Do not be afraid. St. Paul says in his first letter to Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That includes Peter and the sons of Zebedee and Levi and you and me. So, if we come into the Lord's presence and we're silent and we begin to feel the weight of our sins, If we feel like we have nothing to bring to the table, well, we're in good company then. When Jesus tells Peter to put out into the deep, Peter says, "Lord, we've been at it all night and we've caught nothing." But you see, our empty-handedness, our imperfections, these can become a thirst for Jesus and the living water that he offers. Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. All you who are thirsty, anyone here who is thirsty, come to me and drink," Jesus says. If we begin to realize that we are thirsty for God, if we realize how little we are on our own, this is a good thing because it means we're seeing things as they really are. The Catechism says, quoting St. Augustine, "God thirsts for to be thirsted for." God thirsts to be thirsted for. So, during this time of silence, as we sit in the presence of our Lord Jesus, if we feel the weight of our nothingness, let us not run away in shame. No, may our weakness rather give way to thirst. May this thirst drive us to cling to Jesus all the tighter and with even that much greater confidence. For as Jesus explains himself, "Those who are healthy do not need a physician, but the sick do." Jesus, please help us to know how much we need you. Help us to experience thirst for you. We know that you always satisfy our thirst. Amen.